Joining us on the phone line right now is 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you.
So I see that Senate Democrats are going to release their operating and capital budget this afternoon in a press conference. And I know there's also work being done on the transportation budget. What are you hearing about what is in those budgets and what is the process going to look like, do you think?
Well, we're just now starting to digest all those things. Basically, the process is this time of session, after most of the cutoffs and many of the bills are done working their way through the process, the budgets get unveiled. And the way it works is the Senate proposes three budgets. As you mentioned, operating and capital are likely to be released today. The transportation budget was released yesterday, and we start to kind of review those, get our briefings, look at things through the lens of our district as well as the state. But the budgets do need to come through their committees. They're actually separate bills, just like a different policy bill, but it's just a much more substantial bill. So, for example, today the transportation budget is moving through the transportation committee. And that's a committee that I serve on. So I have an amendment related to a hydrogen fueling station and fast charging station for our district. Some of the other members have some amendments too. Eventually, all three budgets will be approved in the Senate, and then the House will be doing the same thing. But the House and the Senate need to agree on one budget document for each of those three budgets eventually, and then the governor will need to sign it. So there's this triangulation of negotiations that will eventually occur. As far as the operating budget, you know, I do expect that to include significantly more spending. We're getting more federal dollars, plus we're getting, you know, there's some new taxes proposed in our state. So I don't know that it would be a budget that I could support. Probably the capital budget is something I could support that usually has good bipartisan support for investments in infrastructure, which is a good thing for our state.
Do you think that the operating budget will include the capital gains tax that has not yet been approved but was approved by the Senate?
Yes, I do. I think it assumes the approval of capital gains tax. I think it also assumes a certain retention of some of the federal dollars. And there was a big child care, state child care bill that was approved that basically almost provides free child care in our state. It significantly reduces the co-pays, and it almost costs the state about $1 billion. So the state needs to figure out a way to pay for that. I think they're going to utilize many of the federal dollars, but also utilize the cap and the capital gains tax when that does kick in, if it does kick in after all the court decisions. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, all the new revenues that they're assuming in this particular budget. Of course, the federal dollars are one-time dollars, so I have trouble with building in programs that are ongoing in a state budget when we're using, for the most part, one-time federal dollars. So I think down the road it sets up a situation, if we have reduced revenue or a sluggish economy in the future, of it either having to raise taxes more to maintain the programs or to make some significant cuts in things people care about. So if you take a look at the operating budget over the past 10 or 12 years, significant increases. I think the operating budget has gone from $36 billion when I started in the legislature 9 years ago to now upwards of probably $55 billion. So it's really grown.
And what can you tell me about the bill to restore felon voter rights?
Yeah, that was a really interesting, hard-fought bill. Last night, we had a multi-hour debate on this. This was House Bill 1078. It passed the House 57 to 41, so it was hotly contested over there. It passed the Senate last night 27 to 22, but it was basically an effort to restore voting eligibility for people who were convicted of felonies but are no longer in total confinement, as they say. So basically, that was how the bill was described. So as long as people are out of jail, even if they're still serving parole, even if they have an early release like a home release or some sort of community care, if they haven't fully completed their time or their restitution to the victims, they could still have their voting rights reinstated. So basically what Washington state law establishes our voting system in our state, and those that are convicted of felonies, which are sometimes really violent, heinous crimes, could include rape, sexual assault, murders, and other felonies. People don't have their voting rights reinstated until they've completed everything associated with that conviction, and that includes parole and the other things. But this effort by the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats is basically an effort to reinstore voting rights for everybody, even, you know, once they're out of jail, even though they haven't completed their full obligations. And that's a concern that we had, and I voted against it.
What about moves in the Senate in regards to the State versus Blake decision that came down from the state Supreme Court a couple weeks back?
Yeah, another decision by the state Supreme Court that is really shaping things. You know, we have the McCleary decision on education, Hearst decision on water. We've had agricultural wage decisions from the Supreme Court. And now the Supreme Court is weighing in on drug possession with the Blake case. We have introduced some bills that would help not necessarily reverse that case, because I don't know that we can go retroactively back into the system. But on a going forward basis, you know, people who knowingly possess drugs, you know, would be able to be prosecuted and convicted like we always understood it with that Blake case. There have been a couple different pieces of legislation that have been sponsored. They have been sponsored by Senate Democrats, Senators Mullett and Hobbs. And I have co-sponsored at least two of those bills. Senator Patton from the Spokane area has prime-sponsored another. And I've co-sponsored some of these, you know, to show my support. But frankly, in our state, there are a lot of members of the legislature that I can honestly say they want to legalize drugs. And so if that's the case, I don't even know that some of these bills, even though they have bipartisan support, will be able to pass, because there's a certain contingent of the legislature that supports what the Supreme Court just did. So it's troubling. You know, I've had some conversations with a lot of folks in law enforcement. I've gotten letters from our law enforcement community. I've had some communications with our members of our Superior Court justice system, and they have some real concerns, and there's some real ramifications from the Blake decision on resentencing and a lot of obligations on the court system for what that means, not just going forward, but what it means to all the people who had convictions prior. So there's a lot of law and justice things this year in the Senate, and this Blake decision is one of them, as well as all the police reform too.
Finally, before we let you go, we don't get any less controversial because the Senate Ways and Means Committee just passed out the carbon cap and tax bill, so that's back for another year. Obviously, I think that means it goes to the Rules Committee next before it goes to the full floor, but I'd imagine that was a heated debate in transportation. What is that bill looking like, and do you think that this is the year they'll finally get it through?
Well, it was interesting. It was debated in Ways and Means. It was referred to the Rules Committee. We actually, as Senate Republicans, wanted it also referred to Senate Transportation, because according to our rules, it would go there. It could potentially affect gas prices. But in a debate, it did not end up getting sent to Transportation Committee after all. So it could come to the floor. You know, it is potentially advancing. There's another clean fuels bill, a low carbon fuel standard, that was approved by the House that is now advancing through. And I think whether it's this carbon cap and tax or carbon cap and invest, however perspective you look at it, it could have some significant impacts on the system, as with the low carbon fuel standard. And I think there's an effort to kind of push these along this particular session, much like the capital gains income tax, because I think the people in the legislative majority with Governor Inslee, they kind of see this window of opportunity to get these things done. So what was once considered not likely for the session, I would characterize as still very much in play for this year. So if it comes to the Senate floor, we'll have a lot of amendments on it, and we have had a lot of briefings. But me personally, I need to learn a lot more about that bill before I can get a chance to weigh in on it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us again today. I found out something I did not know today. If you just search Brad Hawkins on Google, it brings up a guy who played somebody named Ryan Steele in a show called VR Troopers. His name is Brad Hawkins.
I've seen that guy. Yeah, that handsome actor. You know, it's tough competition. What can I say?
I think what it means is that everybody named Brad Hawkins is good looking.
Well, hey, I'll take that.
All right, Brad, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you both.